You know, I started looking around early this morning at the economic numbers. Housing starts were down 11.4%. Single family, individual homes, down 14.2%. You know, I knew we were going to talk to Paul Romanowski, the president and CEO of D.R. Horton. I said, well, he's not going to be in a very good mood. And the earnings came out, and the earnings were not all that great. But then the stock started going up. Paul Romanowski joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, David.
Well, that's an emotional swing. I mean, the stock was up over $3. And like I say, you were guiding the street lower. You think they were poised for something even worse? I mean, this is a pretty tough environment.
I think what you're seeing is the reality of the spring selling season that hasn't shown up. You know, it didn't meet our expectations, but I think that's consistent with what investors, if they've been in the market, have seen, and those involved in the real estate market have felt it themselves, the analysts as well. So I think the expectations were that, you know, we were not likely to hit our guidance for the quarter. You mentioned the permits and the starts numbers being down. That's kind of in kind with our sales and our revenues. We're down 15% this quarter. So, you know, but what we were able to do was hit the mid-range of our guide on margin. You know, and we kind of balance our pace and price really to drive the returns that we're looking for and maintain, you know, returns as best we can in a challenged market for our shareholders.
There's just so much uncertainty right now. And it seems like a lot of people are putting off big ticket purchases, automobiles. I mean, the retailers are saying the same thing. You've got scale. I mean, you have the ability to sort of tweak and get incentives and buy down interest rates or maybe adjust the size of the home. Are you doing that?
We're doing all of those. And, you know, really for our buyers, 63% of the buyers that went through our mortgage company today, which is most of our buyers, were first-time home buyers. So, you know, for us, it's about getting them to a monthly payment that, you know, they can afford and in a house certainly that they're comfortable and happy with, which we're finding. You know, it's you know, you can put off purchases for a while, but if you have a life change, you've moved to town, you had another kid and you need another bedroom, yeah, you know, you can't put that stuff off forever. And so, you know, we're seeing those buyers out there. We have good buyers and it may not have met our sales expectations, but we're still able to get to an attractive monthly payment with a great house for people.
And the monthly payment's interesting because that's the, I guess, the competition. If you don't move in with your in-laws or something, is renting. And you get tax incentives and, you know, build equity and that sort of thing if you're buying. But by the same token, you've got the flexibility if you're renting. Where do you compare now with rents generally?
You know, where we see the best success when you're really talking about the more affordable price points that we hit, and we have the most affordable price point of certainly the large public builders in the market and most builders in the market, is when we can get the monthly payment not far off of rents, you know, then it becomes a compelling decision for someone to make that decision to go buy, start to build equity rather than staying in a rental. And, you know, for us today, that's largely come through interest rate buy downs. You know, our ability to buy down the rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage really is very impactful to monthly payment.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of elasticity. So back during COVID, we went through this with you guys, I guess with David Auld and to some degree with Don, too, talking about the supply chain. And my gosh, you know, you had houses that were almost finished, except you couldn't get refrigerators. I remember one time David was telling us he couldn't get thermostats. And now, you know, we look at what's going on with China and the uncertainty and in some cases just holding off doing some shipping. You know, I could kind of see the same thing coming.
I don't think that we're going to see it as acute as it was. And I say that because, you know, going through that process, our vendors, the suppliers, the producers of this product had to work hard to look at their supply chain and figure out where they could have a little more control over that supply chain. And they've done so. And so, you know, today, we have seen continued reduction in our cycle time, in our build cycle times, completely different than it was during COVID. To your point, we could get, you know, substantially through a house and we're waiting on something. Not to say that, you know, through this, through, you know, the tariffs and all the noise that we're seeing out there, that it won't create some disruption. But by and large, today, we aren't seeing any. And it's early days. You know, there's a lot of the whole tariff discussion seems to change day to day, if not hour to hour. But, you know, so far it hasn't caused any disruption, and we'll take that as it comes. But I feel much better about our supply chain and our ability to be responsive and reactive to making shifts that we need to.
Is more of that onshored, or is it that your suppliers, and you for that matter, are building, keeping inventories?
I think it's a combination, but I think, again, it's where they've sourced those products from and made sure that they've got multiple sources because they've gone through that shortage, right? You have one plant that produces a particular item, and it's amazing what it can stop in terms of production levels across, you know, a whole house. But I think everyone's gotten a little smarter and a little more diversified in terms of how they can source the product that they need to make their products that go in our houses.
So what about the lower 48? Are you seeing strength in one area versus weakness in the other, or is it fairly uniform?
You know, what we're seeing is the markets where inventories have not increased, or it's hard to put lots and inventory in the ground. Those have held up a little better than some where we've seen inventories increase. And, you know, there's been a lot written about parts of Texas and parts of Florida. And so when you look at places like Austin that went up, prices went up quite a bit. You know, it's got a little more inventory today than maybe the Dallas-Fort Worth market. If you look to Florida, you know, markets like maybe Jacksonville and down into Naples and Fort Myers have a little more inventory than Orlando and Tampa. So it truly is market to market. And we have, you know, markets that are on pace, meeting or exceeding our expectations really across all of our regions throughout the country. And then those that, you know, we're having to fight a little more to get the sales we need and incentivize a little more to drive that activity.
What about the build to lease market? I mean, this is something that others were doing with success, and you guys got the business and said, well, look, you know, we build the houses, we might as well own them, and we can turn around and lease them. How's that business?
Yes. The business is not what it was in terms of the returns, and, you know, interest rates have a lot to do with that. You know, our buyers are very sensitive, you know, on their financing costs to driving the returns and the NOIs that they need for it to make sense. But we're still active in that business. You know, this quarter we sold, we had seven projects that we sold, seven communities that were on the single family build to rent side. And then we had one apartment community that we sold, you know, and that was a total of about 900 homes between the apartments and the single family. So there are still buyers out there. We feel good about that market, you know, and we feel good about being on both sides of that, meaning the for sale and the for rent. At the end of the day, there's still, we believe, a shortage of housing in the U.S. And, you know, whether they're going to rent or whether they're going to buy is the decision that people are making.
Yeah, you can't live with your in-laws forever. I've tried that. You don't want to do that.
I think we've proven that, you know, with the millennials and you know, Gen Xs that are in our sales offices today, and a big chunk of who is buying homes from us today.
So you guys have the long view. I mean, you go out long in advance and acquire enormous, you know, bodies of land, or participate with others in big developments that are going to be developed over time. You're still doing that? I mean,
you look at our lot supply, and you know, our revised guide on closings is 85,000 to 87,000 homes this year, but our owned and controlled lot supply is over 600,000 lots.
Wow.
You know, 75% of that is option, which means we at some participation level are going through the process to obtain the entitlements. But, you know, that has continued to elongate. So we have to be looking 3 to 5 years out to have the lots and the lot supply in front of us to continue to fuel our business.
One last thing I'm curious about, because one of the things we've watched over the decades that we've been watching D.R. Horton grow, was this roll-up process, because Don would go out and buy, you know, this, well, we bought these people in Phoenix, we got this people in Florida, we got that. Are those days over with? I mean, is that, have you got everybody you need? Are you every place you want to be?
No, we are still active in the M&A space. And for us, you know, those builders, we call them more of a bolt-on. In other words, it's a smaller private builder. And, you know, we have acquired with consistency, you know, builders that that pair up with us. And oftentimes it's in a geography that maybe we aren't in, or we aren't as long in that market, and we'd like a larger lot supply, and it's time for them, and they feel like they want to sell and they want an exit from their business. In many cases, they're very good at sourcing land and putting lots on the ground in their local municipality. And so we may come in, buy the builder, take over their building operation, and they go ahead and stay in front of us in terms of being a land development partner into the future. And we've been successful doing that, you know, through these markets. So we bought a builder this past quarter, Shaw, up in Tulsa, which was a good addition to our Tulsa and Oklahoma City operations.
And I would guess, it was Warren Buffett who says, you never know who's swimming naked until the tide goes out. Well, the tide's sort of out right now. I would think there might be a few buys out there. But
you know, there's opportunities. We're always talking to those that are out there. And oftentimes, because of our scale and size, you know, we have the opportunity at least to have a discussion with them and figure out if it's a fit. But if it's not a fit, you know, culturally for us, and or that makes sense inside of our existing operation, then we don't need to do it. We have a strong lot supply in front of us, and happy to continue to grow organically. And we'll just make the right investment decision at the time.
Paul Romanowski is president and CEO of America's Builder, D.R. Horton. It's always good to spend some time with you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the time, David. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.